single dream. I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you're by my side.
Moment to welcome those of you that have joined us on our stream. We are here, of course, today with the family of Robin Gillen. Small crowd, but I'm telling you, I've heard from so many people this week about what a wonderful person Robin was and how many lives she touched. So in one way, it's with deep sadness that I speak to you. I'm happy for Robin. Chris and I were at the gravesite, and he said, "You know, Brother Frank, I'm happy for her." And I see him this morning, torn, broken. He said, "I'm happy for her, but I need the Lord to help me." Chris, he will. You're a good man. And I don't just say that. You're a good man. You're a devoted husband, and you have the respect of so many people, and you're not alone. God is with you. To the sisters and the family and others, and mama and dad and all, God bless you. I never tell people. I know how you feel. I can't imagine how you feel. But God knows how you feel, and He can help you. Robin would be 39 today, is that right? This is her birthday. She leaves this walk of life at the age of 38, just a few days before her 39th birthday. She leaves behind her husband, Chris, her daughter, Mallory, and her son, Carter. Her mother, Catherine Pearson, father, C.A. Pearson, wife, Diane, sisters, Tabitha Brown, her husband, Shay, Brandy Pearson, brother, C.A. Pearson, and Haley. She leaves behind five nieces, three nephews, and countless friends. What a wonderful person. Before we have our song, because you're not here, if you're listening out there, you don't have the opportunity to read a wonderful poem that is written in behalf of others who are suffering, but certainly so fitting for Robin. The poem says, "Fill not your hearts with pain and sorrow, but remember me in every tomorrow. Remember the joy, the laughter, the smiles. I've only gone to rest a little while. Although my leaving causes pain and grief, my going has eased my hurt and given me relief. So dry your eyes and remember me, not as I am now, but as I used to be. Because I will remember you all. And look on with a smile and understand in your hearts, I've only gone to rest a little while. As long as I have the love of each of you, I can live in the hearts of all of you." And certainly she will live in our hearts, in our memory. Join me with prayer, for prayer, and then Lori's going to sing, and then I'm going to share some thoughts in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, again, you told us in your word that we could cast all our care on you because you care for us. For this family, Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen them with the power of your presence. There's nothing, Lord, that is more comforting than just the awareness that you're here with them. Thank you for Robin. Thank you for the life that she lived. I considered her my friend. And Lord, in some ways we feel she was taken so soon, but it's moments like this we must trust you for a special blessing for Chris and Mallory and Carter. Strengthen them in ways that only you can. Be with us now as we go through this service and throughout this day. I pray this humbly in Christ's holy name. Amen.
His oath, his covenant, his blood. support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Trumpet sound, oh may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Thank you. That was beautiful. In moments like these, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that said, the preacher sought for acceptable words. Every sermon I preach, I try to search for acceptable words. And the truth is, sometimes I'm at a complete loss. But thank God His Word always has application for our lives, despite whatever it is we're going through. As I ask the Lord to help me say something that might help you and help me, I was drawn to a text found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll just read 2 or 3 verses. Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. They that weeped as though they wept not. They that rejoice as though they rejoiced not. And they that buy as though they possessed not. What is he saying? They that have wives be as though they didn't have any? Are we to neglect our wives, our families, not purchase things that we need? No. He's saying none of these things should be your priority in life, because the time is short. The time is short. Now, from that thought, I want to give you 4 things that I think this verse teaches me. First of all, the text instructs me. It instructs me that, obviously, the time is short. It speaks to us about our priorities, what's most important in life. Think about it. All of the things that were stressing you out or you were so busy doing prior to Robin leaving us, how important are they now? Probably not so much. The time is short. Robin's time was most certainly short. We should consider time. Matter of fact, Solomon writes about time. He says, you know, time serves a purpose. For everything, he says, there is a time and purpose for everything under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And life is not to be filled with morbidity. He says there's a time to laugh and dance. And there's a time to refrain from dancing and laughing. And there's a time to weep. So life has a series of seasons and it affects us in lots of different ways. But the thing about time is, it's unforgiving. When the minutes pass, you know, God is timeless, but we're not. We're all on the clock, every single one of us. God is from eternity and He's to eternity, so He's timeless. But He said the earth will be on the clock. For example, when he created the earth, he said the evening and the morning were the first day. That's how he measured time. He chose to measure it on a 24-hour scale. And so you have one day, 2 days, 6 days. He said, then 7 days, he said, is a week. So he puts the world on a clock, puts us on a timetable. But time's unforgiving. For example, when 1 minute in our life passes, we can't go back and get that minute again. It's gone. But it's recorded in a book of remembrance, and we've all got to account for it. So he said, the time is so short. Get your priorities right. The second thing, the text not only instructs me, but it comforts me. The time is short. Are we going to miss Robin? Yes, we're going to miss her. Chris, you're going to miss her. The children, of course, are going to miss her. A dear, sweet friend said to me this week or a day or so ago, they said, you know, every time I saw Robin, her children were right there with her, always following Mama. Her little daughter is 14. She couldn't even be in the service today. She's back in the back, but it's too difficult for her to be here. She's really trying to process all this. Sad. But one day she'll have the courage to listen. And I want to say, Mallory, sweetie, the time is short. It's a word of comfort. You're not gone from Mama forever. You're going to see her again. You're going to be reunited with her again. And she will be there standing by the river of life. And when your time comes, she'll be there to welcome you home. It is a comfort to know that people that we love and have gone on before us, we'll see them again if they knew the Lord. I miss my brother. I was thinking about him just the other day. And to be honest with you, I think of him often. I lost him many years ago, early in life. But there are days when I miss him so bad, I think, you know, I just wish he was here. I know he'd help me carry this load. But I'm comforted knowing that time is short. And it's getting shorter all the time. We'll be reunited again. Let the text comfort you, Chris. Don't think about, oh, how long the journey will be. Jesus said, Chris, the time is short. God, let this text comfort us. Especially in Robin's case. Because quite honestly, Robin lived her life in a way that we can all have great assurance as to where she is today. You know, Jesus said a tree is known by its fruits. Robin bore the fruit of a child of God. She was a wonderful servant of the Lord. She was a wonderful wife to Chris and a great mother. And she was a great servant in this church. She taught in our Awanas. Our Sunday school superintendent, Billy Atkinson, said to me today, the other day, he said, you know, Frank, anything I ask her to do to help back there, she's just willing to do it. On Wednesday nights, we have a fellowship meal, and she was on the hospitality team, always there serving. When I got to know Robin, she had already come to Christ. She was saved as a teenager. So when I didn't know her previously to her conversion, but all I ever knew about Robin was she was always the same. There was nothing pretentious about Robin. There was nothing. She didn't put on airs. She was a genuine person. When I got to know her a little bit better, my little grandson played on a T-ball team with her little boy, Carter. And initially, you know, I found Robin to be kind of shy. At least around me, she was. Some of you are smiling. I don't know if she was always smiling. Okay, they say no. Well, around me, she was a little shy at first. But she got to know me a little better. And The T-ball was painful to look at. It was difficult. And I got to where I just dreaded going because my little grandson would rather, you know, do the robot or, dance the floss or do something like that, stand on his head right there in the middle of the game, chase butterflies, dig for worms. And it was just complete embarrassment, quite honest with you. And so, but I don't want to teach him to quit anything. So he'd get in the car and he said, "Did I do good?" I said, "You did terrible. You were the worst baseball player I have ever seen in my life." He'd stick that little lip out and start crying. And my wife, Sandra, she'd say, "You quit. You did so good." I said, "No, he didn't. He was terrible." So Robin heard me talking like this one day. And she just looked at me, you know. And I said, "And Robin, it's not just him. The coach, Chris, he's terrible too. Worst coach I ever saw." If you're worried out there, Chris is laughing at me. He knows I love him. And another man in our church, AJ, he was a close second as to the worst coach. It was a pathetic, painful situation. And so we would sit there together and we were cutting up, you know, about that. And she told me one day, she said, "My friend, I had no idea you were so crazy." And we just became good friends. And she took a situation like that, just having a good sense of humor and enjoying cutting up. She helped me get through the season. Her and some others. Oh, I'm going to miss her. I know I'm not going to miss her like you're going to miss her. You're her family. And Chris, of course, her husband and the children. But I'm going to miss Robin. Because Robin's one of those people that, you know, you have people in your life, you could call on them for anything and they're there. That's her. But I'm comforted by the fact that the time is short. We won't be separated forever. The time is short. The third thing I want to say, the text instructs me about how we manage our time. The text comforts me knowing that this is not forever. But the text, number three, inspires me. What do I mean by that? Well, in Hebrews 12, the Bible says that there's a great cloud of witnesses that we can learn from, draw from, be inspired by. In terms of the way they live their life, they can kind of give us a model, give us something to shoot for. And he lists all those people. Sometimes you've heard preachers call it the Hall of Faith, because Hebrews 11 has all those wonderful people that lived for God and stood against the odds and served the Lord under difficult circumstances. And they were rewarded because of their faith. And so he mentions those people because he says those people are your examples. You know, what God did for those people, he can do for you. Now, Robin has joined that cloud of witnesses. Her life inspires me. It shows me that what's really important about living life. See, Robin lived her life for others. No doubt about it. She didn't live it for herself. She lived it for others. For her family, her friends, her church. She left behind some clear footprints that can teach us how we should treat other people. She gives us a great example to follow. Though she probably didn't think much about death at such a tender age, but she showed us how to be ready for it, regardless of when the time comes. She inspires us all. There's a great song by Steve Green, and he talks about that cloud of witnesses, and he says, "Let's run the race not just for the prize, but for those that we leave behind." And then he says in that chorus, "May all who come behind us find us faithful. Let the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead others to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. And then this verse for my young friends, Mallory and Carter, who will hear one day. After our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Let all who come behind us find us faithful. You know what I've been listening to all week when people talk to me about Robin? They've just been coming behind her. They found her faithful. They reflected on memories and interactions and different acts of service and kindness that she did. And there's just a host of people. Matter of fact, if it wasn't under these extraordinary circumstances, I dare say our building would be full today. They come behind and find her faithful. And so they said, there's somebody that did it right. She was a genuine person. She understood Christianity 101, the golden rule. She treated others like she wanted to be treated. So her life instructs, it comforts, and it inspires us. It gives us something to shoot for. We need an example, don't we, in the world in which we live? There are very, very few examples, people that you can pick out and say, you know, until I figure out what I'm supposed to be doing, I think I'm just going to do what they're doing until I get it figured out because they're doing it right. Robin was one of those. The fourth and final thing, the text instructs me, the time is short. It comforts me. Thank God it's short. This pain won't last forever. It inspires me. It shows me what I'm to do with my time. But I wouldn't be very faithful to the word if I told you that this text did not warn me. The time is short. There's a prophetic clock ticking in our world. Jesus could come today for his church. But he may come for you personally as well, or for me. You can't stay here, friend. You've got to go with your generation. Generations come in and generations go. My dad's generation has been gone for some time. I mean, my dad's dad. I called him Pop, my granddad. He's been gone for a while. My dad's generation he's gone, and others are going to be gone too. They can't stay. They're not built to stay here forever. My generation, following close behind. I'm understanding more and more as I live my life that my time personally is short. I'm going to tell you that. It won't be long until my tongue will be silent. I'll preach my last sermon. My eyes will close in death, and my tongue will be silent, and my body will go from whence it came back to the ground. My time is short, and so is yours. It is. The Bible said it's like a weaver's shuttle. Do you know, you see a sewing machine, how quick that needle hits that bobbing up and down. That's how, when you measure your life next to eternity, it's a pin's point. It's so short. James said your life is passing. He said it's like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. People are gone. One place he said it's like the way the grass comes up. Today there it is, and then tomorrow it's cast in the oven. It's gone. But one thing is certain, what we do with the time that we have is important. And most of all, with that time, what'd you do with Jesus, God's darling son? Was there ever a time in your life when you gave your heart and life to him? When you confess to Him that you are a sinner, because we all are, and you ask for His forgiveness for your sins, and you gave your heart and your life to Him, and He saved you. Nobody's ready to really even enjoy life until they're ready to die, and nobody's ready to die until they know Jesus Christ. Jesus said this about Him, His own self. He said, "I am the door into heaven." And there's only one door. It's like the door of the ark. Only put one door. That big ark with all the animals and then the family. One door. It was put into the side of the ark. And Noah got inside the ark and he waited. He didn't shut that door. It wasn't his to shut. But eventually God's hand shut the door of the ark. And that door was never opened again. Never. How'd they get out? Well, they went out the top, through the window at the top. And that's how God's people are going out. We're going out the top. That's true. But Jesus, like the ark, is the door into heaven, and you cannot get in there any other way. You can't say to Him, "I was a nice person, I was a good neighbor, I was a member of so-and-so church, or I tried to treat people right, or I did the best I could." That's not the door. The door is Jesus Christ. And He said this to warn us. No matter what your name is or where you're from or what you believe, He said, if anybody tries to get into heaven any other way except through the door, He said, they're like a thief and a robber. And then He adds this, and there'll be no thieves and no robbers in heaven. Let the text warn you, your time is short. Do you know the Lord? Now, I do that for my good friend Robin. Well, I do it anyway because I care about people and I want to see them saved. But Robin would be so disappointed in her pastor if I didn't give you the gospel. And the gospel says, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. I know many of you perhaps already know Him, but if you don't gamble with your life and your soul. It's eternal. You can't get saved after you die. You get in on this side of the graveyard or you never get in. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you know Him, you know that's true. And if you don't, precious one, you can know Him. Call upon Him today. He said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I had to preach at you a little bit because I love you. I care about you. I want you to be as ready as Robin when your time comes. Let me say it in closing. If I can ever serve or help any of you in any way, it'd be my pleasure. I mean that. If there's something I can do for you and help you in any way or pray with you, give you some guidance, it would be my pleasure and my joy. And I speak that on behalf of our church as well. We're here for you. Chris knows that's true. So, some days you'll cry. Some days you'll laugh when you remember certain things. But on those days when you're just so sad and you're just so broken, the time is short. It's going to pass. You'll meet again if you know our Lord. Would you pray with me? Now, Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for this really sweet family. Lord, I could even sense in the pictures the warmth and the love that they had for one another. It looked, Lord, like they had a good time together. And that is refreshing. I'm grateful for that. They'll gather again in the future. Robin will be missing. It will hurt. They'll speak of her. They'll remember things and laugh, and sometimes they'll cry. Remind them that the time is short. inspire them, comfort them, instruct them, even warn them that the time is short. I pray for each one individually. We all grieve differently. You know each person here and what they're carrying today. Minister to their hearts personally, I pray. I ask all of these things, Lord, as humbly and sincerely as I know how. In the name of the God of the resurrection, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.